to it. Jesus, we thank you for this day. And it is just so good together with our family here, our forever family, the people that we're going to see on a daily basis forever and ever and ever. And we are so grateful for the walk that we have with these people now and the walk that we're going to have with them and many, many, many others throughout all of time. And so today, God, I just pray you'll help me to deliver the things in your word that need to be said. And as I always say, shut my mouth where it needs to be shut and open it where it needs to be open. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible or anything like that, today I am going to do something different. Usually I put everything up on the screen, but there's a passage that I'm going to hit in the very last part. It's called Luke 15. So if you want to turn to that, you can do that while I kind of talk to you for a second. Luke 15. And we're going to spend most of our time there, but I got a lot to cover before we get to that spot. Okay? Here we go. We're in a series called Four Little Letter Words. And it's been 5 weeks now, and this is our fifth week. And we're talking about words that the church doesn't often talk about. And we skirt around them. We skirt around fear. We skirt around obedience. We skirt around different things. Last week it was holy. We said, well, what is it? Holy is a hard word because it's so unattainable, because it makes us sound like we have to be perfect. And if God is holy, 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 then we are to be holy, holy, holy too. How does that happen to such messed up people like us? And what we said, all it means is to be set apart for God's use and for what God wants to do in us. And so that was our last four-worder. We talked about hell, and several of you had some thoughts about that, and good and bad. And so we want to talk today about another very controversial four-letter word that's in the Bible that's used time and time and time and time again. If you play this word out in public, if you play it on Facebook or on Instagram or TikTok or anything, you talk about people being lost, you're going to get a lot of playback. You're going to get a lot of pushback. People are going to come at you like, well, how dare you? You're so privileged. How can you say that there's people are lost? Because if there's, that means that you must be found, right? And how, what makes you so special to be found? And so it's a word that the church doesn't talk about very much because it's a word that is not politically correct. It is a word that ensues that if something is lost, you're somehow inferior or you've got a problem. And so to tell somebody you're a lost individual because you don't know Jesus, that immediately starts a firestorm with people that don't believe in Jesus. So it's a controversial word, even though in the church it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But we come in here with many different types of beliefs. We come in here with many types of takes on what God is, because we often looked at God as this God who is love. And he loves everybody, and he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Of course he doesn't. We talked about that when we talked about hell. But he also has a plan and a purpose. And so that is why, having said all that, we've got to talk about in the church, what do we do with that word loss? I think it's a word that really needs to be brought back to the church, because I think it's another one of those words that got pushed out of the way. Because we don't like to handle that stuff. We don't like to handle somebody being lost. You say, well, what did Jesus say about it? There's three passages, and I didn't put them in on the thing, but I just want to share with you to make sure you understand this. Back in Luke 19:10, he said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save, not the found, not the healthy, the lost. That's why he came. He came for the lost. Matthew 15, Jesus said that he was sent to care for lost sheep. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said that he didn't want any little children to be lost. And on and on and on. Over 75 times you see the word lost when Jesus is talking. He was very concerned about the lost. And he talked and he talked and he talked. And a lot of his stories were about the lost. If this offends you today, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When we think about lost, we usually don't give it a whole lot of serious consideration. Yet in the Bible, it means when you're lost, it means you're headed towards destruction and you're going to eventually perish. We talked about hell several weeks ago. Please understand the word lost must be in the vocabulary of every person who believes in Jesus. If it's not in your vocabulary, you have pushed it to the side because you're afraid or you possibly don't want to be that person who offends other people who are lost. And you don't want to push them away, so you just don't talk about those things, you know? And that could be a problem. If you believe there's a heaven, then you have to believe that there's a hell. And people are going to hell are going to be having what we call eternal life. And you're going to have eternal life in one of those two places. And it's very, very important to understand that if we are found and we are here and we consider ourselves okay with God, then that means that there's some people that we rub elbows with that are not okay. That are not okay. There's a magician named Penn and Teller, or his name is actually Gilead. We don't give a whole lot of thought to magicians here at our church, but I used to watch him a lot in the 80s and 90s, him and his little buddy friend. The little buddy friend didn't talk. He never talked, and the other guy was a big, tall guy. He had a black ponytail. I don't know if you know who that is or not, but he's a confirmed atheist. He believes that there's no God. He believes that once you die, you're all going to go and just be nothing, and there won't be anything, and so it'll be all over. So Penn is very astute on that. But he wrote this in a journal talking about Christians, and I find it very telling and very convicting. So listen to what he said. He says, "I don't respect people who don't proselytize, who don't witness. If you believe there's a heaven and a hell, and people are going to be going to hell and not getting eternal life, you think, what is it? You think that, well, it's not worth telling them because it's going to be a little socially awkward and they won't like me. They're not going to listen to me." And then he says this: "How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and then not tell them about it? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe it's possible and yet not tell them about it because you're afraid of what they're going to think about you?" That's very convicting. It's convicting to me. And I pray today it's the beginning of a conviction for you where your ears will listen a little bit more as we talk about this taboo subject of being lost. So today what I want you to do is I want to share a couple stories with you I told you about. We're going to do that. But before I get into those stories, there's two things I want to share with you. One is this: being lost doesn't have to be permanent. Being lost doesn't have to be permanent. Next one. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish." There's that lost thing. "Shall not perish, but have eternal life." So one more time. "For God so loved the world," what did he do? He made a way. He gave his Son, the one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came to solve the potential devastating problem of being lost. That's why he came. He came to save the lost. There are dozens of people that you know and you rub shoulders with, as I said, every day, that if they were to die tomorrow, they would not go to heaven. And that's where you come in. That goes to the second thing I want you to realize today is the next one. Excuse me. Being found, if you're found, it gives us a mission. It gives us a purpose. So many of us have a problem with this because we say, I don't know why I was created. I don't know why God made me. I have no idea. And I'll tell you, if nothing else, there's a lot of reasons why he made you. But one of the main reasons he made you is to help seek the lost. That's your mission. 1 Corinthians 5:20 says this, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are strongly imploring you. We are strongly asking you, be come together with God, because without God, you have no hope of an eternity that isn't going to be anything short of hell. That's a tough, tough thing to say. See, Paul, the Apostle Paul says that the change that takes place in us in our lives, that's good. It's so good that all of you are here today and you believe, and your mom and dad taught you to believe in God, and you praise him, you give him your tithes and offerings, you go out and you help and you serve. But if you're not telling people that are lost how to be found, you're not being one of his ambassadors. That means there's a TikTok and all those have these things called brand ambassadors. There's a brand ambassador. They get paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to push a particular brand. You are a brand ambassador for the Most High King. That's your job, is to be that brand ambassador, to tell everybody you know, to show everybody you know who Jesus is. You are that representative. That's you. But the truth is this. Some of us have been Christians for a long time, and our attitudes start to become a little bit like some of the religious people that Jesus was taking aim at in the scriptures that we're going to look at today. Jesus didn't have much patience for the Pharisees, who were the leaders of the church. He didn't have much patience for the Sadducees, who were just going around and sitting. We've been watching The Chosen on Thursday nights, and two weeks ago, they were walking through the little city of Sychar, and they were walking through the city, and here's all these people, every street corner, and they're sitting there quoting scriptures, incredible old scriptures, just sitting there shouting them into the heavenlies. And there's people crawling around that are hungry, and people that are lame, and they're crawling around, and they're still just stuck there, just saying their scriptures. And Jesus came along, and he dealt with those people. He loved those people. He got up next to those people. He healed those people. He dealt with the prostitutes. He dealt with the people that no Pharisee or Sadducee would ever, ever think about. That's an issue, folks. That's an issue. See, our attitudes get kind of like, well, everybody's not like me, so, you know, they go to hell, they go to hell. You know, that's their choice. It is. But we should always be on the lookout for God's entry point into somebody's life that we're rubbing arms and our hands in their life. As much as his teachings didn't make sense to the religious leaders, some of the things that I say on a weekly basis don't make sense to some of you. Some of you, it goes in one ear and out the other. And you, yeah, that's right. Thanks, Jeff. You stepped on my toes a little today. Thank you for doing that. Go, Jesus. And then you go out and you do the same thing. I trust him. Uh-oh, here comes a storm. Where are you, God? He's good today, not so good today. See, a lot of this is how we live in the storm. I am so proud of the way many of you live that way, because there's so many things that rock your world, so many things. And you could just curl up in a little ball and just get in the fetal position and just hunker down and not worry about anything else, because there's a lot going on in your life. There's some of you sitting here have been rocked and rocked and rocked. But God has a plan and a mission for you. And the mission is to not look at that storm, to not look at all those things, but to look at him and his Savior, Jesus Christ. When you keep your eye on him, it allows you to put one more foot in front of one more foot, in front of one more foot, and not stop, and not quit, and not give up. And some of you, you come to the point where you just want to give up because you don't see any, you don't see any hope. You don't see any hope. But as long as you have breath, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. If you got your Bibles at Luke 15, just hold them open. I'm going to tell you three quick stories and then we're going to close. Three quick stories. Luke 15. Jesus begins story one in verse 4. And I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read some, then I'm going to talk. I'm going to read some and talk. I put several scriptures up here. There's three stories. The first story is of the lost sheep. There's one that's gone, and there's 100 sheep, so now there's 99. Second story is about a lost coin, and there's 10 coins, but one coin is gone. And the third story is there's one son and a family member, and so we'll talk about all three of these as we go into it. I think hopefully we can find some challenging things to kind of grasp onto this day. Verse 4, he tells a story about a man who has 100 sheep, okay? Verse 4, 100 sheep. He's counting them, and he goes out in the field, and he realizes that there's only 99. What's he going to do? Is he going to just sit there and just, you know, keep counting the 99 hoping the one comes home? Nope. He's going to go out and he's going to look for the one. And he looks everywhere and he finally finds the one. He comes back. He says, what are you going to do with it? Well, of course, what I'm going to do is I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to be so glad because the one that was lost is found. That's incredible. And so he tells everybody, look, that which was lost is now here. It's found. I'm so happy. And the 99 are going, yeah, but what about me? It's easy to do that in church sometimes. You know, well, at church, they wanted me at the start. Now they don't want me now. And no, church wants you, but they want you to go be the church wherever you are. What about the one that's lost? We got to be more concerned about the one that's lost than the 99. It's important to have this gathering. It's important for us to gather together and worship the Lord, like, and have our worship leaders lead us in worship. It's important to do that. But it's even more important to go out on mission and to do what he asks you to do. See, sheep have a problem. And not to point anybody out, but sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. Yeah. And he kind of alludes to that because it's like God, when he made a sheep, he didn't give them any offensive, no offensive weapon. They had no swords. They had no machine guns. They got nothing. Their thing is this. They got what? A shepherd. Oh, now I get it. They got a shepherd. And the only way the sheep are protected is if they're with the shepherd. Do you get this yet? Do you get it? I don't need the church. I can go out in the fish bank and the big bank on the fish and me and the fish it's God's right there and it's all good. It is. It is all good. It's wonderful out there in the bank. But you need people. You need people. You need the other dumb sheep around you. When they make the dumb mistakes, you kind of help each other out a little bit. The shepherd kind of points out, hey, look over here. Look over here. See, it's important to understand that no shepherd, no good shepherd ever goes, 99 here, yeah, that's good. That one, he'll come home eventually. No, lassie comes home, but sheep don't come home. Sheep never come home because they're so dumb. They fall off the side of a cliff. They go in holes. They do dumb things. Anybody relate? That which was found was incredible. That which was lost made that person go out and look until he found it. First story. Second story. Verse 8. Find a woman in her home, and she has 10 silver coins. It's probably her life savings, And every day she's counting them. Make sure they're there. 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Counting them every day. Counting them. One day, she notices that there's 9. What am I going to do? Well, she tears her house apart, and she looks for that one golden coin. She goes out, and everywhere she goes, and finally she finds it. And what did she do? She just stuck it back in her pocket and went out of her way. No. Look, I found that which was lost. Look, everybody, it's here. Here's the coin. I found it. Everybody's going, big deal. But you found it. It's important because it was important to her. That one was important to her. And when she finds it, Jesus says, she will tell all of her neighbors. She will tell all of her friends. And she will have a big celebration because that which was lost has been found. Good story. Story number 3. You know this story. I'm going to not go into it too much, but we got to talk about it just because that's why we're here today. Verse 11. So we've got the sheep, the coin, now the son. And I want to make certain that you get this. Do you realize the impact and the value increases with each story? You say, well, is a silver coin worth more than a sheep? Don't misunderstand this. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. The first thing that Jesus was concerned about was 1 out of 100. The next was 1 out of 10. And the next is 1. He's concerned about 1. What if that 1 is you? What if that 1 is somebody that you love more than anything on this earth, and they're lost? That's tough. Jesus said, a certain father had 2 sons. Had 2 of them, good sons. He was rich, had a lot of things. And the one son came to him and said, Dad, I'm tired of this business. I want to leave. You kind of stink. I just don't like being here. Rules, well, I don't know, whatever. Don't trifle with me. And I'd like to leave. So here's the thing. I'm not coming back, so I want you to give me half of what's owed me, because back then inheritances were big things. Today we don't got nothing to inherit to anybody because we're so broke. Nobody gets anything when we're done. But back then inheritances were a big thing. And he said, Dad, just give me half of my stuff and I'll walk away and you'll never see me again and I'll go out and I'll do my own thing and it'll all be good. And the dad said, no. The dad said, sure, son, go. Here it is. Bible says that he goes out and he does what you know. He parties, gets a bunch of friends and they all love him until the money runs out. Karaoke machine stops. It's all bad. And all of a sudden he's looking around. No friends, no money, and he's hungry. So he goes and gets a job, the lowliest job you could do, taking swine and feeding them pods. And these pods were gross, but that was all that was left. And so he looked at the pods, and he's going, these are gross. My dad is back at the ranch, and he's got everything. Maybe I could go back and feed his pigs, and maybe he would make me a servant. Maybe he could just, you know, get me employed that way, and at least I have something to eat. It won't be pods. So he goes, and I love what it says in Luke 15, 17, 8 through 19. It says, he was doing all this business, and is at the point where he doesn't know what else to do, and it says, when he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. That's huge, folks. So here's what I'll say to him. I'll say, Father, he's talking in his head, Father, I have sinned against you, I've sinned against God in heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So just make me one of your servants, your hired servants. I love that phrase, when he came to his senses. You know why I love it? It is never sensible. Listen, it is never sensible to be away from your perfect Heavenly Father. It is okay to question Him. Listen, it is okay to question Him. It is okay to walk away, but it is never sensible to be away from a perfect Heavenly Father. Your earthly father may have been the most screwed up thing there was in the world. I get that. But when we're talking about God here, we're talking about a father that is perfect and has your will above anything else. He cares about you more than you do. He knows more about you than you do. And so when He says, here's what I need you to do, and you don't do it, you start feeding pigs. Start feeding pigs. When He came to His senses, some of you this morning, you need to come to your senses. God is calling somebody here to come to their senses. Now listen to this. We don't always change because we see the light. Sometimes we change because we feel the heat. We don't always change when the light goes, oh, there's God. But we change when we feel the heat. And some of you today, I think, might be feeling the heat a little bit. And it's getting a little hot. God wants you to know that He's after your heart. He wants your heart back. He wants you to come to your senses so that you can get into the business of seeking the lost. Verse 20 says this. So he got up and he went to his father. Now let's talk about that a minute. Think about this. He's going there basically to repent. He's going there basically to say, Dad, I screwed up. I'm sorry. And you, there's people here today, when I talk about repenting, you go, not me, buddy. That I got pride. I'm not about to do that. I'm not going to say I did anything wrong. Not me. You have a hard time saying I'm sorry. Boy, that better change, church. Better change with your kids. Better change with your spouse. Better change with Jesus. You better get on the repentant train and repent. I'm thinking that boy is thinking about his dad, and he's thinking his dad sitting on the porch in a rocking chair waiting to receive him, and he's not thinking he's there with all the hugs and kisses. He's sitting there with a shotgun. Say, what are you doing here, son? You took half my farm and you blew it. See, that's not a perfect father. But that's the way some of us view God. He's this person that's vindictive because I've done things wrong. I did so many horrible things. But I believe that father was sitting on that porch scanning the horizon every day. Is this the day my son's coming back? Is this the day? And the son's going, what's he going to do to me when I get there? Sound familiar? What's he going to do when I repent? What's he going to do when I say I really fully want to follow him? Is he going to make me into some weird spiritual freak where I stand on the street corners and I saw down in Franklin the other day, there was a whole group of people down there, you know, shouting out Bible verses and stuff, and that's cool, but no, I don't want to be those people. Okay, all right. That's maybe what God's calling you to do, but I think he's calling you to find the lost somehow. You got to understand this father. He's a perfect father. He's God. And he starts, the Bible says he gets there, and the most beautiful verse in the Bible, one of the most beautiful verses, and the verses I love the most, it says he started running towards his son. It is the only time, let me say it one more time, it is the only time that we see God in a hurry. Why is that, Jeff? Because he's relentless about the lost. He cares about the lost. He ran to his son. And the son's going, uh-oh, is he going to beat me up? What's he going to do to me? And he gets there, and you know the rest of the story. I'm so glad he hugs him. He kisses him. Here's this stinky, boy, you know, bring the Lysol, bring the sandals, bring everything. This boy, bring the coat, the new coat, get the calf, get the ring, bring it all. Bring it, bring it, bring it. The son's going, what? You're going to take me back? Yeah. See, that's the good news about what we're a part of today. The Jesus news. The news that Jesus has for you today is that there's not too far you can get away from him. Not too far. Never. He relentlessly wants to pursue you. Remember why the son came. He came to be a hired servant. But he also came to repent and to tell God he was sorry, or tell his father. Verse 18. He says this, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants. And then he goes into all the things why he's going to make him in his servants. That's the story. There's some more to the story, and I'm going to finish that up here in just a minute. But I want you to understand, everyone who hears this story that Jesus is telling, these three quick-fire stories that they're doing, they're understanding that the Pharisees and Sadducees are the ones that Jesus is kind of talking about. That these people are the people who think that you're going to get to heaven by the things you say out loud, by how you dress, how you are on the outside, and not about how you are on the inside. And so they got this huge, huge, huge problem with these people who are supposed to be biblical teachers teaching them that the Messiah is coming. It's a real conundrum. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But Jesus told these stories, and the purpose behind these three stories are this. The Pharisees are thinking, well, if he's such a holy man, why is he hanging out with all these sinners, these horrible people? So here's how the story ends. So Jesus tells the rest of the story. The party is beginning. The older son comes back from the fields. He's been out working. He's probably had to work twice as hard because his brother was gone. So he's picking up the slack. The slacker brother. Not doing what he's supposed to do. Pretty upset with him. And somebody says, what? Wait, your brother's back. And the guy's going, really? Haven't you heard? He's home. Your dad is pumped up. He's killed the fatted calf. We brought in a cover band. It's going to have steak tonight. It's going to be an incredible, incredible place and time. Come on, bro, let's go. Let me stop right there and just talk about, just a second, just to the church, just to you guys. It better be the best part of your week when Lydia Brown stands up here last week and she goes into that tank. You better be jumping and screaming and just so excited that Lydia did what she did. You better be excited that somebody that was lost is found. And I want to talk to the sports fans here and the sports nuts for a little bit. Green Bay, Cowboys, you name who you are. If you cheer and shout and are more concerned about what the Colts and the Cowboys and are doing and about the lost, you have a big issue. You have a big issue. And more of your content and more of their thought and more of your treasure goes to those things than it does to the lost and to being excited about the lost and caring about the lost and seeking the lost. You're not doing your job. You're not doing your job. And the next time you see somebody come up here to get baptized, you're going, oh, that's another 15 lunch. We're going to be late for lunch. Some of you think like that. When's he going to wrap this up? Isn't he about done? Been up there 40 minutes. Come on. You better be careful. Be very, very careful. How about this? Somebody stands up here and they're getting baptized or getting immersed, or they say they want to be saved, and you go, that person? That person wants to be saved? What? You know, have you ever thought that? Come on. And you go, they're a mess. Well, thank goodness. That's what this is about. Mess people. Messy lives. Messy people that are confused. People that don't know whether they're they, them, thou, who. I don't know. It's about all of us. And knowing who He is, that's what's most important. Knowing that He's the Lord, knowing that He's the Savior. And I want to say to you, if you're more guilty of cheering on your sport team than you are Jesus and what He's doing, you need to check yourself this morning. Check yourself. Proudly wear a jersey anywhere. Give me that jersey. I'll wear it everywhere. I bleed green and yeah, I bleed blue and white. Jesus. If that's our attitude, we've forgotten what it means to be found. And we forgot what God has saved us from. Because God has saved you from something incredible. Eternity without Him. And so our job, church, is to point those around us to the ever-loving Savior. Listen to me, and we're about done. Jesus didn't come to earth to perform miracles. He didn't come to bring your dog back to life or your grandma or your anybody. He didn't come for any of that reason. Jesus didn't come to earth to serve the poor. He did not. Jesus did not come to earth to preach good sermons. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And when someone is lost, is found, we better have a celebration because the angels do. The angels do. We better get in line. You see, there's only one person in all of Johnson County today that didn't know Jesus as Christian. As a Christian, we better be going out and finding that one person. But you know as well as I do that there's more than one. So God has put us in a place. He's put us on a little corner in Franklin, Indiana, to say, follow me as I follow Christ. He's put us right where we are in a strategic place, and we've been here for almost 21 years now doing the same things. And so I close with this thing on the next screen there. We're not called to save the world, church. You say, well, Jeff, I can't save the world. You're right, you can't. Excuse me. But we're called to be a positive influence in our sphere of influence. And the whole world is full of only two groups of people. You're either saved by the blood of the Lamb or you're lost. That's really controversial. It really is. So many people disagree with that. You can go talk to people of the Arabic faith, Arabic. You can go talk to people that are Muslims. They're gonna totally disagree with that. You can go right down the road to a billion churches, and they're gonna disagree with that, that there's only one way. But I believe, and I believe that many of you believe, that that's true. You're in one of two groups. You're either lost or you're found. Which one is it? Let's see what God does as the band comes. I'm gonna pray. Come on up, guys. God, we just come to you today on a note of just asking you to help us each one look at our hearts and then to truly repent, because we've made this life somehow about us. We've made it about our job. We've made it about school. We've made it about a million other things, our house, our car. Washing machines that break down, furnaces that blow up. And really, God, what it all comes down to is that you have called us to trust you and to keep our eyes on you. And yeah, we're going to have bad things happen. Good people have horrible things happen to them all the time. But God, I just pray that you'll give us a mission, and that we'll accept the mission to reach out to the lost. Help us not to let the lost be a dirty word in our church. Help us to look at it as something that we're going to aspire to be what you want us to be with the people in our lives. I know this is tough stuff, God. I know that the people sitting here going, but you don't understand. I barely talk to my neighbor. I barely know what to say. And God, I know Moses said the same thing. He says, I can't talk. Don't send me. But I know, God, today you're sending some people here. You're going to send some people to be your hands and your feet when it comes to telling other people about you. So forgive us. Help us to come together as a unified family. And God, for those of us that are here today and we're just a little bit confused and we're thinking, I could never do that, let them know that it's not them doing it, it's you. Remind them, remind us who you are today as we have this time of ministry. Run amok through our church this moment. Just pierce our hearts for the lost, for the things that you came for. We love you and we praise your name. Amen.
Lord of lords, thou worship.
Thank you, guys. There is nothing wrong with sports. Sports is good. It is healthy. But it has to be in balance. Everything we do has to be in balance. And so all I'm saying to you today is be sure and look at your life and see, is it balanced out? Is it balanced out? And are you giving God what he's asked of you? And that's your all. Your all. Your all. Tough stuff, isn't it?
Be praised.
All right. Barry, stand up real quick. Can you get the lights, Kim, real quick? And then you can turn back off. Barry's going to stand up. That's Barry. Everybody say, hey, Barry. Yesterday, I'll tell you a story while he's standing there. He's really embarrassed, but I'm going to tell you a story anyway. That's his wife, Amy, sitting there, and I'm not going to make her stand up because she's got crutches. But he called me last week and says, I really want to get baptized. And so he got immersed yesterday, and so he gave his life to Jesus. And so that's a good job. You can sit down, Barry, so I'll talk some more about you. But anyway, it was really cool because Matt and Carolyn came with them. That's Matt and Carolyn, by the way, wave your hands up. That's their friends. They invited them several months ago, and they came, and they just said they felt like this is where God wanted them to be. And again, it works. It works personal. People don't come by signs. They don't come by Facebook. They don't come by websites. Oh, that's wrong. They come by websites a little bit because they come check it out. But they stay because there's people that love them. And are the hands and feet of Jesus around where they are, okay? So that's just a real good thing. So hopefully next week we're going to have a baptism day, but the kids are sick of the lady who was getting baptized. So maybe next week. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We're so glad you've been here today. Do we have the news? We do? Okay. Thank you so much. Here's Abby.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. There is no youth group tonight, but we are resuming next Sunday. If you sold church pizzas, please make sure you get your money to Brenda today. December 3rd and December 10th is going to be our Christmas Bazaar, which is going to happen before and after church service. If you're in the 55 and plus group on December 14th from 5:30 to 8, you're going to be doing a Christmas tree light tour. Before you leave today, please make sure you stop and get a paper newsletter of all the events that are happening here at ICC. Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
From the rising of the sun to the giving of down the same, let the name of the Lord be praised. But for now and forevermore, all of heaven and earth be, let the name of the Lord be praised.
First verse, here we go.
Come now, all you children, open up your eyes, for two or more are gathered, his presence will abide. Lift your voice to heaven, there's only one to glorify, Jesus Christ. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, let the name of the Lord be praised. Both now and forevermore, all of heaven and earth proclaim, let the name of the Lord be praised.
Let's do that chorus again.
From the rising of the sun.